We Don't Stop, Mickey Ryan, Blaine Bishop, Lucas Panzeca. Hour number two, the nexus of the sports talk universe. Halfway through the week show.
I mean, it's practically
the weekend now.
Is that what you believe?
Here's what I believe. Okay. I believe that our boy, our work son, Lucas, actually said yesterday on the air, yeah, I'm still sore from the game. Remember? Like, hey, man, you recovered from your experience.
Well, he was speaking from a fan point of view because there's a lot of work to walk in up those heels.
No, I literally like physically sore, yeah.
And he put in there, you know, rest. Rest is part of this whole equation. It just is a lot for a weekend. And then the adrenaline rush that you have
and anxiety that you thought you was about to have
when they was making the comeback. So that is tiring. I get it. Yeah. You know, he's been through a lot.
Look at the fan base. I felt like I ran a 5K on Saturday.
Well, what was your time?
Not good.
All day long. Most of the fans feel just like Lucas, though.
Except happy.
Where are you on all this? Because yesterday we had Ben McKee on, and Ben started talking, and Blake was kind of asking him about, like, you know, how good could the season be? So then he kind of lays out, like, well, I mean, you could win 10 games, even if you don't beat Georgia and Alabama, because you had the what's considered a couple of the toss-up games. You go to Pittsburgh and you win. And they won ugly, which to me that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
To go and literally after the game say, boy, the defense saved our butts today, which is what was said after the game. Because they didn't go and score all the points they normally do. I'm like, man, that's big. Because they could see, like, we didn't just score a point a minute today, and we still won the darn game. So then Florida comes into town, then all the voodoo dolls start getting poked, and it's like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Then there's an onside kick, and everything happens. But I know, so whoever's going to say, well, Billy Napier goes with analytics, I still say he lost track of his mind and his math. And the Vols did enough to win the game. Now you got a whole bye week to just kind of sit and think about things. And this LSU, they're playing at 11 o'clock Central. If I'm a Vol, I love that. I don't want to play them at 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, no way.
No way.
Mm-mm. The student body may not even be there at 11 o'clock Central time.
And they won't be nearly as oiled up. I mean, how much can you drink before breakfast?
A lot of them will be in bed.
So
still recovering from Friday night.
I think that was huge to get that draw.
The bye week comes at a good time for them too, because they're banged up. Cedric Tillman still coming off that ankle injury, and Jabari Small played a little bit hurt on Saturday. Hendon Hooker was in and out of the medical tent. So it's going to be good for them to heal up. And you don't have this typical 4-week gauntlet that it feels like Tennessee has every year of playing in LSU and then Alabama. And then you got to play Georgia, and then you got to play your other SEC West opponent. This year, it's so much more divvied up where you have the bye week. Then you go to LSU and you host Alabama. Then you play UT Martin. And then it kind of picks up with, I'm trying to think of who that next opponent is. I don't have the schedule in front
Kentucky?
Of me. Kentucky is October 29th. And you play UT Martin October 22nd. Yeah, so you turn around, you host Kentucky. And then it's the Missouris and the South Carolinas. And then you have another cupcake. And then you got Georgia in the second to last game of the year. So it's all kind of divided up to where they can catch a breather at various points throughout the season rather than what has been just a nightmarish October in so many recent years for the Vols, where they go 1-3 or something.
Mm. Yep, 10-2. I have no doubt. Been saying it since before the season. And I feel like it's the offense. It's the offense. It's hard to prepare for that. I mean, once I saw Bama had trouble, I was like, uh-oh, last year. Like, this is going to actually work. And then I'm now not seeing really any adjustments weekly by teams who played them the previous year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what can you do besides cramping? You know, acting like you got cramps. To slow them down.
We haven't seen that yet this year, too.
We haven't seen it yet. No, most teams are trying to play through it. You know, and I'm like, whoa, this is about winning strategy. Don't have the pride. Hey, maybe you use it less. As a matter of fact, yeah, I saw one kid. He was smiling. It might have been Tennessee kid that cramped, and he was laughing when he walked off. Because I don't think he was really cramping. I think they had like too many men on the field or not enough. I think it was more so that. I think they are right where I thought they'd be. And by the way, LSU is getting better each and every game.
Yeah.
Compared to that first game that they played that everybody watched, it was against Florida State. Who was it?
Yeah, Florida State.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to see where they look after these next 2 weeks. Who they have this weekend?
It's not even a group of five. They might have an FCS team this weekend.
They got a Ball Stater?
Something like that. But
no, it's not. It's well, unless you're just trying to insult Auburn.
Oh my goodness, they do have Auburn this weekend.
Wait, oh man!
I thought you were just killing Auburn, Lucas. Man.
You're supposed to be the crack staff.
Auburn just beat Missouri, Lucas.
I completely forgot they're playing Auburn. I could have sworn they were playing like a southern southeastern Auburn. Utah Tech.
No, dude. They're Auburn. Playing Southern Southeastern Auburn Tech is who they're playing.
Well, it's on the plains, too. It's a night game, but strange. Hey,
well, see, I like that because then they got that physicality, yeah. And they're going to be a little, as you know, Lucas would say, a little sore that next.
Hey, do you know what the spread is in this game? This is
LSU Auburn?
Yes.
At
Auburn.
LSU's definitely favored. I'm going to say, you're shaking your head at me like they're not.
No.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to say LSU by 10. 10 and a half.
You know, I'm not together, but I'm going to say
Vegas Bishop here.
LSU by, watch it, 2.5.
No, 9.
Oh.
Now, Lucas went over, though, so Blaine just won the showcase showdown there.
Oh, I finally won some against Lucas.
Lucas went over, but dang. 9 points, and this at Auburn.
Yeah, it's on the plains.
So, 2-3-1 teams, but boy, you talk about Vegas's confidence in one versus the other. I mean, they're trying to get people to bet money, but still, that's a big line.
Auburn has problems at quarterback in that they just don't have one. Their offensive line is absolutely terrible. We talked about it yesterday. Tank Bigsby had 62 yards after contact in the win against Missouri last week. 62 yards after contact. He finished with 44 rush yards. If that tells you anything about the state of Auburn's offensive line.
Uh-oh. He done.
I mean, he is just fighting off guys in the backfield just to get to the line of scrimmage for some positive yardage.
Yeah. So LSU.
I saw somebody from Harsin was at Boise State, right?
Harsin was at
Boise State. Yeah, I saw a quarterback in the portal that started 29 games.
Hank Bachmeier.
See? And right. I was like, this is weird. Why is he doing it right now? He's going to show up at Auburn.
Like you said,
he knows the plays. You know he knows the plays.
Hey, that's.
I'm telling you, they have a quarterback issues. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's a default thing. Like Billy Napier, remember the offensive lineman he brought with him from University of Louisiana Lafayette? Yeah, he
brought a running back with him, too.
Yeah. Hey, man, these dudes know the plays. I mean, they were 3 stars or 2 stars or whatever. I'm bringing them with me. They know the freaking play.
It's a sinking ship. It is. But I wouldn't go.
Yeah,
because
unless it's his last year of eligibility, no big deal. But if he's got some years left after this year, oh no,
they just don't have an identity. I don't know what Auburn is.
They trying their better run the football,
and they got pushed around against Penn State at home. Penn State looked like the SEC West team in that game.
I would have lost so much money on that game because I thought Penn State's going to get down there. It's going to because Auburn's fans, they're crazy. I've been to games there. It's an unbelievable atmosphere. You got to park like 6 miles away and walk, even if you're on the campus.
Oh, Lucas might not made it.
You'd be too sore to even make it the next day.
He would have run a 5K though.
It's a freaking 10K.
I'm curious about DeJani's physical state because I did tailgate with Jordan DeJani on Saturday a little
bit. What? You've been holding back.
I swung by the tailgate he was at on Saturday. We caught up a little bit.
Oh, so you think he's a little sore?
Maybe. Maybe.
or more awake and attentive.
I don't know.
If I gave you, Lucas, $1,000 of Blaine's money, and I said you have to go and bet right now,
ooh,
how many games, regular season, I throw the bowl game out, how many games just do the Tennessee Vols win this season? And you only win if you guess the no over, no under, how many games?
Exactly how many games.
Yeah, because people are starting to say 10 everywhere.
10. Yeah. Well, 10's not out of the question. 10.
I said 9 before the season because I thought they were dropping one of Pitt or Florida. They escaped Pitt. They beat Florida. I'm going to say 10 because I just don't. I look at the schedule, and even before the season, you looked at Tennessee's entire schedule, and you said, okay, which games just aren't winnable? Mm-hmm. And you said Alabama and Georgia. Those are the only games that just are not winnable. And now you can have a conversation about the Alabama game. especially if those teams are both 5-0 going into Neyland Stadium. And depending on how Alabama looks against Arkansas, we might learn a lot in that game on Saturday. The game's in Fayetteville. So I'm going to stick with 10 because I look down the stretch and you should go and beat an LSU team that is talented, has a mobile quarterback, but you should win that game. You should be able to outscore that team in year one of Brian Kelly. And then down the stretch, yeah, you have a Kentucky team that's a top 10 team right now, but that game's at home. It's a good matchup for Tennessee as far as their playing styles. I'm going to stick with 10.
Can you believe that you're saying that in year two of Josh Heupel?
No.
With what he inherited and a mess and an investigation and Pruitt and McDonald's.
Well, he had players. Maybe they didn't have depth.
Yep.
But they're front line guys now. They had players.
He had a decent offensive line situation that he inherited.
I mean,
100%.
He did inherit a hooker, too.
He inherited Hendon Hooker. He did not recruit Hendon Hooker. He inherited Cedric Tillman, but nobody knew Cedric Tillman was Cedric Tillman. He had like eight career catches when Heupel took over.
That's crazy.
But to go a year and a half later and be at number eight in the AP poll, which it's the AP poll, it doesn't mean anything right now. But, I mean, Butch Jones never got Tennessee higher than being the number nine team in the country in 2016. Mm. So to be sitting here at 4-0, to be beating Florida in year two, it is not anywhere close to where people thought this program would be in two or maybe even 3 years when he took over.
Y'all need to pour one out for your man Butch. Arkansas State plays Louisiana Monroe this weekend, and Arkansas State to them is kind of like how Florida has been to Tennessee, like just don't lose to them. They need to win. They need to win this game. They need desperately.
Butch Jones!
Butch, please. Get us a win. I said that very slowly. That. One time I didn't say Butch.
Oh, there
you go. I said it's on the wrong
side.
I messed up. I said it.
You were talking too fast. That's what happened.
I was talking too fast. I said, oh, which, please. Only I didn't say which. And Blaine was like, hey, man, I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Yeah.
I said it by accident.
No, this is what it sounded like. I really didn't say that.
Oh, I did. Yeah, and I was like, no, that's not what I said. Did I think that or say it? You and Brent were like, oh, you said it. Let's say this. Jordan Najani, let's see if he's still sore from his weekend on Rocky Top. The man from CBS Sports that covers the NFL will join us next.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, having some good times. If you cannot be happy listening to this song, then you can't be happy.
Yeah, Lucas, like...
Look at him.
I don't know.
Look, no, he's happy.
Even Lucas, I saw his head rock a little bit.
Oh, no, this is right up my alley.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
this is good stuff.
Hey, so we have to, you know, take us through some of Lucas's menu. What are you thinking about cooking today? Because he's an exceptional cook at the household, man. So I'm always interested because I see the food you be cooking, man. I'll be taking pride like, ooh, I want to taste that.
I'm going to keep it simple tonight. Just some spaghetti.
Listen to him.
I'm going
to
keep it simple. Spaghetti. But what's going to be in it?
I got some cherry tomatoes from the garden behind my house that I'm going to just kind of cook down into a little sauce with some garlic, some basil. Real easy.
Oh, just easy. I'm just going to pick fruit out of, you know, vegetables out of my yard
and
turn them into sauce when you can just buy a jar of ragu.
He's a trifecta, man. He's smart. Good job. Can cook. Man.
He's not available, though, ladies.
I know your lady got a maid, man.
Don't get to thinking there's a shot there.
Don't get all excited now.
Do not. Yeah. Control yourselves, ladies. Also, control yourself because Jordan Najani jumps in the mix, too. Jordan, are you going to pick tomatoes out of your yard, and are you going to make yourself a nice light
good
spaghetti
time.
Sauce tonight?
Hey, what's going on, guys? No, there's no chance. I barely have grass up in my backyard, so I doubt that's going to happen.
Oh, is it yellow?
Cook like Lucas.
Is your grass yellow?
Yeah, it's a little yellow. I got to get the landscapers back here to make it look okay. But
okay.
The yard's not looking very good right now. But we're not in the spring, so we're okay at this juncture.
Yeah, Lucas said you brought some of your grass to the tailgate, man. Is that true or not, man? I'm just asking. Just for a friend, man. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering.
That could mean something altogether.
There was no grass involved. There was some alcoholic beverages. No.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was a great weekend out there on Rocky Top. Great seeing Lucas. It was a nice reunion, seeing a bunch of old college buddies. It was a magnificent weekend.
Oh. How many games do you think the Vols are going to win? Because your man Lucas has already convinced himself 10 is the number.
He stole that number from me. I said it first, Lucas. Yes. You know I said that.
Now, you've been saying it.
It's a good question, man. And honestly, unbiasedly, I think I am leaning towards 10.
Yeah.
I will say I didn't think the Vols had the best performance against Florida. They got some issues in the secondary, just like the other football team in Nashville by the name of the Tennessee Titans. So I'm keeping an eye on that. But against, you know, Kentucky's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, I'm kind of chalking up losses to Georgia and Alabama, although I hope they're entertaining matchups. But I'm leaning towards 10 wins right now as well.
Is Lamar Jackson, let's switch to NFL talk. Jordan Dejani, our guest, CBS Sports, covering the NFL. Is Lamar Jackson your MVP right now, or Josh Allen, or Tua, or Jalen Hurts, or who are you leaning right now?
Man, we need to credit Blaine right here and right now, because he was talking about Lamar Jackson last week, and he's somebody who obviously has been getting some money for MVP, but he had another magnificent game against the Patriots on Sunday. I think he threw 4 touchdown passes, rushed for over 100 yards and another touchdown. It's interesting because he's off to a better start than when he won the MVP unanimously a few years ago, and I feel like now the national media is just starting to talk about it more. He's been incredible. The Ravens have quickly become one of my favorite teams to watch film on, from what they do offensively on the ground, and also with how they scheme in the pass game with their new-look wide receiving core, and obviously Mark Andrews is a star. Lamar Jackson, in my mind, should be the front runner, but right now over at Caesars Sportsbook, he has 3 guys ahead of him: Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and, of course, Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go, Jordan Dejani, our guest, bringing it like he does every Wednesday on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Jordan, this is kind of a broader question, but give me some snippets of this past weekend of what caught your attention.
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, I want to start with the Buffalo Bills. I thought that the Bills game against the Dolphins was incredibly entertaining for a multiple of reasons, right? It's interesting because the Bills are now 0-7 in games decided by one score, while they're 14-1 in all other games. And they dominated the box score, right? Mm-hmm. 16 more first downs than the Dolphins, 285 more total yards. They possessed the ball for over 40 minutes and ran 90 offensive plays, but they still lost. I think that's something to keep in mind when we're talking about this Bills team as prospective Super Bowl champions. They haven't been that good when games have been close in the fourth quarter, so I think that's going to be interesting to watch. The other thing that really stuck out to me, how about these Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, there's a reason that they are topping some of the power rankings as we enter week 4. This is their first 3-0 start since 2016. They had 9 sacks against Washington after recording just 3 sacks in the first 2 games of the season. Jalen Hurts had 3 passing touchdowns in the first half, and that matched a career high, and he did it in one half of football. Wow. Philly's the best team in the first half of any of all games through the NFL season through 3 weeks. I'm very intrigued by this Eagles team, but I'm more intrigued by their defense. The headline's obviously going to be the quarterback and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I get that. But this defense is going to be a top 5 unit, in my opinion. I think that they're going to be the strong backbone for what is going to be a very good team in 2022.
Man, sounds like you got them already written to the Super Bowl there, because they are playing exceptional. Man, that's unbelievable when you watch the Eagles. And as well as Jackson, I think he had some record of some back-to-back games record by an NFL player, 390 yards passing and 100 yards or over rushing back-to-back games, and he's the first player to do that in Super Bowl era. Is that true?
I think something like that. You know, I'm looking at my notes now, and it seems like he's broken 100 records through the first 3 weeks of the season in terms of a dynamic dual-threat quarterback that's doing so much with his legs and his arm. I mean, he's truly been the MVP up to this point.
No doubt about it. We're on with Jordan Dejani, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Have to get into the Cooper Rush and the job he's doing there for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. You know, sometimes when you're vet sitting on the sidelines, maybe, you know, you see that maybe managing the clock is not so bad when you're standing on the side, when you're throwing a lot more. Do you think this will change how Dak and the Cowboys approach playing Dak maybe not sooner, but later, and then when he comes back, a little more conservative?
100%. And that's a great point by you, because I think that's the headline thus far. This is good for the Cowboys, not because they're winning games with their backup quarterback, but because they're going to be less inclined to rush back Dak Prescott. And I think that was everyone's worry when he went down with that injury in the season opener, right? There's going to be the story of Russell Wilson from last year. They're going to rush him back. He's not going to look as good, and it's going to tank the Cowboys, and Mike McCarthy's going to get fired. That's the narrative that we all had written down. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen now, and that's good for the Cowboys. I think that Cooper Rush has been very solid as a game manager. I think he's been accurate. I think he's taking care of the ball. You know, he's not taking away significantly from what the Cowboys want to do on offense. They're still relying on their running backs, and they're finding success doing so. So I want to see what he looks like moving forward. He has an interesting matchup against the Commanders. Could be somewhat of a trap game, but the Cowboys look really solid right now, and I think this is really good for Dak Prescott, because I think it truly does heighten their ceiling for what their goals are in 2022.
Well, as much as they look really good, Russell Wilson and the Broncos' offensive struggles is, you know, Wilson, Hackett, the head coach, as well as the OC. I don't even know who that is, really. It just seems like they're not on the same page. There's some bad chemistry going on here. What do you see when you see the offense of the Broncos?
It is totally inconsistent. And a lot of people have been asking me over the past couple of days, like, what's the ceiling for this Broncos team? And I have no idea. I mean, I think they had 9-3 and outs, which was the most in a game in Russell Wilson's career. What really stood out to me was he's not pushing the ball down the field. And I can't make heads or tails if that's the game plan, the play calling, if that's Russell Wilson being hesitant in this new offense. But at the same time, this new offense was completely built around him, and with him being a chef in the kitchen as well. So I'm not sure what the problem is right now. They're not pushing the ball down the field, and they've been incredibly inconsistent. And you obviously have to chalk up some of the blame, or most of the blame, I should say, with first-year head coach Nathaniel Hackett. But this Broncos team had high expectations coming into this year, not to win an 11-10 game versus the 49ers in front of their home fans. He spent the majority of that night booing their own team. So the Broncos are certainly a team that we're going to have eyes on moving forward, because they have all the pieces they need on offense to be successful, but they just haven't found the right recipe yet.
No doubt about it. We're on with Jordan Jajani, NFL writer for CBS Sports.
Hey, how about in the same week we get a butt punt and we get the Orlovsky play from Jimmy G? Like, there have been one butt play and one run out of bounds like that prominent in the NFL. Both of those guys kind of get Sanchez and Orlovsky kind of get replaced this week.
It's been unbelievable, man. And in fact, I'm doing this new column for CBSSports.com that's published every Monday morning. The five wildest things that I saw on NFL Sunday. And, of course, all those made the list. There was also a drone that got the Seahawks game paused versus the Falcons, which was fascinating in itself. We've seen some wild plays. And I love Thomas Morstead, the Dolphins punter. He's one of my favorite interviews, one of my favorite guys in the NFL. He was obviously upset after that, his personal protector getting too far back in the end zone when they're working with limited space. That was unbelievable.
Well, you can throw that in with the guy from Kansas City who said something so egregious, Chris Jones, like for talking, that they extended the drive that the Colts later went on to win the game. What in the world did that dude say?
That was unbelievable. I think that's one of the headlines of last week as well, because as you mentioned, the Colts really had no business winning that game. I think they had under 200 yards of total offense before, as they entered that prospective game-winning drive. And as you mentioned, that sack or that tackle, whatever it was, on that pivotal third down, the game was about to be over, and then Chris Jones says something. It must have been pretty bad for the refs to throw a flag. And the refs, as you saw, were standing right there if you look at the replay. I wonder if they're ever going to release it. There's been some talk on social media, you know, Chris Jones saying, you know, he tweeted the cap emoji saying that, you know, what he said wasn't as bad and as egregious. So I don't know if we're going to find the truth behind that. I kind of hope that he just looked at Matt Ryan and called him too old to play. And then Matt Ryan just let a game-winning drive in his face and led the upset victory.
Jordan Dejani, our guest on Blaine and Mickey, at Jordan Dejani on Twitter, CBS Sports.
Well, Jordan, I guess from your overview of all the NFL games, do you feel like there's been more injuries early on in this season than normal, or has this kind of been this way the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, you know, I feel like this is a subject that we've talked about before, and we're going to continue to talk about it, because I don't think it's a one-time trend. You know what I mean? I think that it's something that is going to be a legitimate trend. We're seeing a lot of these athletes go down with severe season-ending injuries, and we saw what happened with Sterling Shepard and his torn ACL on that turf on Monday night against the Cowboys. That was one of those freak injuries where he wasn't even doing anything. He was kind of slowing down from what was almost a jog, and all of a sudden his entire gear is lost. And I feel like this is definitely a subject between the NFL and NFLPA behind closed doors, because we're seeing a lot of these big-time injuries happen, and we're not exactly sure why. And we just saw that Joey Bosa is going to miss significant time with his groin injury. Christian McCaffrey's now reportedly dealing with an injury that maybe could cost him a couple of games. We're seeing a lot of injuries around the NFL. There's no doubt about it.
With somebody who's not injured, but it looked like he was going to injure somebody, and that was John Dorsey up here in the booth, man. That's his name, right? Yeah, he used to. Oh, Ken Dorsey. Yeah, Ken Dorsey is his name. Yeah, man. I mean, did that go viral after they ran out of time there in the Bills' offensive, misstep there?
Yeah, I can totally understand why he was upset, too, because the Bills, they messed up the clock at the end of the first half when they could have scored points, and then points at the end. Yeah. They should have won that game. So there was definitely some big-time miscommunication on the Bills' offense. And that's why I threw out that stat at that in terms of how bad they've been in those one-score games. They're usually losing those matchups. And that's why Ken Dorsey was so mad. It seems like he was almost a little bit embarrassed of it. And I was thinking, man, he doesn't need to be embarrassed about it. That's his job. He's obviously very passionate about it, what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I'd be doing the same exact thing if I was a play caller up in the press box.
Oh, my. So speaking of that, did you do that when they got the onside kick for the Florida? Were you throwing and banging stuff at that time?
Woo, man. PTSD right now at this point. I was a little nervous. Everyone around me was much more nervous when that happened. I still had the faith that Tennessee was going to win that game. But everyone was saying, not again, not again. Of course, same old thing year after year. I did get a little bit scared, but I was still confident, right? I was still confident. But, yeah, I almost started throwing stuff in the stands, no doubt about it.
Well, speaking of confidence, the Dolphins are 3-0. They look pretty confident, but I'm not sure if Tua's going to be out there, man. I mean, how did you view his head injury slash head?
I'm glad you brought this up, because after the games went final Sunday, I was looking at the Thursday night game, and I go, this might be an interesting time to take the Bengals at home on a short week. I was shocked that Vegas agreed with me. The Bengals opened up as favorites, and now it's climbed all the way to 4 points, I believe. But Tua Tagovailoa is going to play. That at least is what I'm thinking. It's not official just yet, but I believe he's going to play. But he's dealing with a couple of different injuries. I think one is his ankle. I may be mistaken on that. But then there's been this whole controversy around his concussion protocol, his head injury, his slash back injury. And I'm sure you guys saw the replay. When Tua went down and he got up and was all loopy, right? He was tripping over himself. That looked like a head injury to me. But the Dolphins tried to classify it as something with his back, some kind of nerve, whatever it was, pinched nerve. I'm not exactly sure. It didn't look like that to me. But when I heard Mike McDaniel talk on Monday, I sort of walked away kind of believing him that it was related to his back. I know that there's an investigation going on with the NFL and the NFLPA, so they're going to get to the bottom of it. But the bottom line is that Tua is definitely dealing with a couple of injuries, so be careful betting that Thursday night game.
I guess lastly for me, give us the 411 on the Chiefs and the Colts game, because I watched a little bit of that, and I was – like, man, I'm still not feeling like that the Colts should have won that game. They got a lot of breaks there, man. What is your overall observation of the Colts to this point in the season?
I would say inconsistent. I can't even say that they necessarily played good against the Chiefs. And I lost money on that game. And as I said, the Chiefs definitely should have not lost that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say that the Colts, their run defense looks good.
Yeah,
and according to the stats right now, they have the third best run defense. They're averaging 77 ground yards allowed per game, I believe. That's something that I'm sure you guys will be discussing when it comes to this matchup this weekend against Derrick Henry. But you know what? Matt Ryan hasn't done incredibly well under pressure. The offense isn't exactly humming. The Titans are the better team. But here's the thing I'm thinking about, and this is my X factor for Sunday. What if Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor both get bottled up? It's going to come down to which team can pass the ball better. I think the Titans' passing attack is better than the Colts, but here's the thing. I like the Colts' cornerbacks more than I like the Titans' cornerbacks. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup come Sunday.
Mm, There you have it. Jordan DeJani, NFL writer for CBS Sports.
So you're not ready to become a Derrick Henry receiving total over Stan account just yet on a weekly basis?
I'm glad you brought this up because I definitely am totally ready to do that. What was it? Derrick Henry, it was like his third, one of his best receiving performances of his career, 5 catches for 58 yards. He had 0 catches in the first 2 weeks. And I was all high on this because I love betting the Derrick Henry receiving props. I thought we could find some value on it last year at the beginning of the year, but his usage kind of tapered off as we approached the middle of the regular season. So keep an eye on that line. When they release player props in the next couple of days on whatever sports book you use, hopefully it's Caesars, but Derrick Henry on his receiving yards and his receptions. I'm sure I'll be tweeting out some picks if I identify some value with those lines.
All right, were you ready for this after 3 weeks? Joe Flacco, top 5 in passing yards. Maybe he is elite, Jordan, and he's just showing the world once again that he is.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's elite, and unfortunately, here comes Zach Wilson back to the starting lineup. Yep. I guess the Jets are no longer going to be a top 10 offense. That's right. They're a top 10 offense right now, according to the stats. Zach Wilson is a guy a lot of eyes are going to be on, and he's obviously thrown a lot of interceptions. It's going to be interesting to see how healthy he really looks. But Joe Flacco was kind of okay through those first few weeks of the regular season. How about a quarterback controversy in New York?
Bring it on, and we'll be talking about it with Jordan DeJani because he joins us this same time, same day every week. Jordan, fantastic stuff. At Jordan DeJani on Twitter, you can wait for his Derrick Henry receiving prop recommendations, or just go to CBSSports.com and check out Jordan and all his fellow writers. Fantastic stuff there as they cover the NFL. Thank you, sir.
I love it. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Jordan DeJani. All right, when we come back, Titans have been making all these player moves, and let's get into some of these, including a guy who I think was brought in to do a thing that we're going to do. And Lucas is in my ear saying, give something away. So here's what I'm going to give away.
Sherbert?
Hockey. I would smash some sherbert. Oh, people have to keep listening, says Lucas. It's a tease. If you come back, you can win Predators tickets, but you have to come back. Play to Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. When Lucas says give stuff away, we give stuff away, and we got good stuff. Hockey is back, Smashville. I hope you are ready. Are you ready? Be caller 5 now to win tickets to opening night at Bridgestone Arena as the Preds host Dallas. That's October 13th. That will be here before you know it. 615-737-1045. I know you want those tickets. Don't miss out on the 5 home games scheduled during the month of October. Season and single game tickets available now. NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Get those rascals. I mean, missing these games? Get yourself down there. Speaking of missing games, practice report. This is from our man TD, Teron Davenport. Practice update for Wednesday ahead of the Colts. He says, no sign of Treylon Burks, Zach Cunningham, who blew up one of those, throw it to this guy, who throws it back to that guy. He throws, like, the second time they did that, he was like a bowling ball and hit everybody and he got hurt.
Yeah, it was elbow or a wrist or something. I couldn't tell you the way he was walking off.
Burks, Zach Cunningham, Hooker. Austin Hooper, he said, worked on a side field. Used to, we couldn't say anything about side fields, but I guess side fields you can say, like Hooper was over there. TD says Bud Dupree, Ugo Amadi returned, but Amadi did not take part in the individual period, he says. Ola and Kyle Phillips were in yellow jerseys, mean practice, but like yellow jersey means don't touch these dudes. So that's no sign of, boy, I have Treylon Burks like, hey, man, you want to borrow Blaine's battery-powered stem machines? You need a cold tub delivered to your house? Like, what can we do? Mm-hmm. Zach Cunningham.
Did his feelings get hurt when he dropped that ball?
Boy.
Is that what happened?
He jumped awful hard at a ball I don't think he needed to jump for.
Or is he?
At least from,
is he getting a rest day?
I guess we'll find out tomorrow. He's awful young to get a rest day. Awful young.
Hey, hey, man. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. Or he could be a little nicked up and they just said, let's be safe and don't practice. But I mean, I would have had him out there in a yellow jersey, but he wasn't out there at all.
Says no practice. No sign of Treylon Burks, Zach Cunningham, Amani Hooker.
Man. What if Vrabel be messing with us, man? Oh, do you remember seeing any time that it looked like Burks got injured?
Not Sunday.
Not Sunday. Exactly.
I mean,
that's why I said rest day. As bad as that sounded, as a young player, rookie player, I'm like, well, he did play more snaps than he ever played.
In Buffalo, he got up, was kind of shaking something off.
Yeah, he had like an ankle or knee. You know, he slipped, you know.
All the attention was on Dane Jackson because it was on that same play. But he was fine on Sunday, so I don't know.
Maybe that's just, maybe there's a continuation of that. He's just trying to make sure you get him right, get him tight.
Maybe so. He needs to be both right and tight because Colts have been stopping to run. So you need people who can do maybe other things and help with other things and be threats down the field to attract attention away from people who would want to put themselves in the box and try to stop Derrick Henry. Mm. So Titans have been super busy this week. Boy, if this turns into a copy of last season where every week we're like, okay, let's try to figure out, okay, this guy's here, but this guy's not. This guy's hurt. This guy's, okay. We're getting to that territory.
Oh,
this is a fourth
game. We already started with Landry and then Dupree. It just started.
So
the defense ain't been right since.
The Chargers are facing an injury avalanche right now. Bosa going on IR.
Mother. Yeah. So the Titans cut Derek Tuska. We hardly knew ya on Monday. They signed Mario Edwards, not the old Mario Edwards, but his son. Not little Mario, but big Mario. Big little Mario. They signed him from Jacksonville's practice squad. So then Tuesday, they signed that solo Raven Clark to the active roster. He's an offensive lineman from the Eagles practice squad. So then they also, this was yesterday, and it's not 3 o'clock. I mean, it'll be 3 o'clock in 8 minutes or nine, and then they'll say what else they did today, because I bet they do something every day.
Mm-hmm. They have to.
So yesterday, they signed Joe Schobert to the practice squad. This dude made the Pro Bowl in 2017 and always has like 100, and he averages like 120 tackles.
That's the linebacker from the Jaguars?
Yep. And the Browns and the Steelers, he's bounced. But, yes, 1 year with the Jags. So Jerry Green, the outside linebacker, was released. I couldn't pick that guy out of a police lineup right now with you and Lucas being some of the other people in it.
I'll join the club.
So I don't even know anything about that. Joe Schobert, though, is a tackling machine. So if you see Zach Cunningham, like, uh-oh, he don't look right, and then he's not practicing, there's just a dude sitting at home who's averaged 124 tackles a year or whatever, I might be like, hey, we got to kick the tires on this dude.
Yeah, I'm wondering how quickly you can pick up the scheme in middle linebacker. And he's kind of the same kind of player, just probably not as athletic as Cunningham, but he's kind of more of a run stopper, right?
Has been.
Well, he can.
He had like 1 year where he graded real. I got rabbit holing on him. He had 1 year really good against the pass, but sometimes he has struggled in pass coverage, I guess, since then.
Yeah, that was a good pickup then. Guy with some experience.
He made a freaking Pro Bowl in 20. I know 2017 was a long time ago, but this guy has a lot of tackles and at one point was a kind of a top. I mean, you're a top line player if you make.
Well, I mean, if you start in this league, you know, you're pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
So hey, that was a good find there, as well as the offensive tackle too.
Yeah, LaRaven. LaRaven Clark, who has several starts. It's been a minute, I think, since he started, but I think I heard Buck and Lucas talking about this. He came in to a game for the Colts against the Titans a couple of years ago, and I think Harold Landry gave him nightmares for a little bit.
Yeah, 16 career starts.
Okay.
Yeah, played in over 50 career games. He's played guard, played left tackle, played right tackle.
Blaine has said this many times, though. What? This team just evaluating dudes, just like, okay, there's 17 dudes, get that one. And that dude would come in and play like 2 weeks and start a game and be a serviceable player. Mm-hmm. That's how they won all the freaking games last year.
Yeah, they did. So this is so kind of.
Here we go. These guys.
Specialty here in JR and filling gaps. But man, some of these, man, Bud Dupree and Landry, oh, man, that's just, God, we got to get them. Hopefully, Dupree, man, we got to get some rush. Boy. If not, we're going to make Matty Ice look like he MVP Mighty Ice. I'm telling you, they got to get pressure on this cat. Are we going
to
be saying, meow?
Hey, we do need to say this.
Crap.
Good thing reminded me too, Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody down in Florida, everybody affected by the hurricane, thinking about you. It looks terrifying down there right now. Check on your people who are down there praying for you, thinking about you, sending all the love. And it looks really scary down there. So everybody, please be safe.
So in the meantime, and as always, even in Florida,
peace.